Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled Best Practices in Network Topology Mapping, 5 Must-Haves to Streamline Network Monitoring and Troubleshooting. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speaker, Brian Jacobs from Ipswitch. Today's schedule consists of about a 30-minute presentation, leaving about 15, 20 minutes at the end of the hour for the audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your audience console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit a question at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these questions as we can during the closing Q&A. And if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you could submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. Finally, this eCast will be posted online within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast will also be made available. We'll talk about this a little more at the end of the Q&A. Our presenter for today is Brian Jacobs, Senior Product Manager for the What's Up Gold Suite of Ipswitch Network Management Products. Brian attended Auburn University and the University of Southern Mississippi, where he earned a Bachelor of Science degree with a minor in Spanish. He started his professional career as an intern with IBM in the early 1990s, focused the first 10 years of his career on carrier-scale network design and Unix system administration, serving as Senior Network Engineer for Phoenix Data Systems and Senior Systems Engineer for Lucent Technologies. Brian has spent the last 10 years of his career designing and implementing enterprise carrier-scale network management systems. Mr. Jacobs worked for the surveillance department of the Beau Rivage Resort and Casino, where he used What's Up Gold to monitor what was then the largest digital surveillance system in the United States. Brian also served as chief engineer for the broadband division at LodgeNet, where he implemented the world's largest single deployment of What's Up Gold to monitor LodgeNet's entire network infrastructure, spanning across more than 2,000 properties. Brian, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Once again, this is Brian Jacobs, Senior Product Manager for the What's Up Gold family of network management products. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are. I want to thank you all for joining our webcast today. I'm very excited to talk to everyone about network topology, which some people may say, oh, that's an old construct. We've had that around forever. But software has really matured to the point where we can make very good and intelligent business decisions based on network topology. But before we start, we need to talk about what topology is. When I talk about topology, what I'm really talking about is layer 2 of the OSI model, which helps us understand how devices are connected to each other in a port-to-port fashion. So when we talk about network topology, we're thinking of, for example, how router A plugs into switch B that then connects to servers down the line. It's very important for your network management system to be able to consume and understand topology across your entire network. It's not just enough to be able to understand your network devices like your routers and switches, but you also need to have the topology of all your other types of devices as well, particularly servers, workstations, access points, and your virtualized topology as well. Now, why is this important? There are several major factors and intelligence points that topology can bring to your organization. And so as an example, what you see on your screen here are two network topologies out of the What's Up Gold software. And on the left, you can see how we have at the bottom of the vertical there, we have a router that's, a switch that has gone down. And we can see behind that switch, there's an HP device and another Cisco device and some things further up the tree. And so if we think about a network management system. In terms of just alerts, think about alerts. If your network management system does not understand your topology, then it's very likely that you'll receive an alert for both the failed component, which is the switch at the very bottom of the tree there, and then everything else behind it because your network management system doesn't understand how they're connected together. In addition, topology changes over time, right? So in very many cases, we will have networks that expand or grow, or perhaps we have unintended changes. By not understanding that topology, we can make routing and switching and spanning tree mistakes that can be very costly to our business. So it's very important to be able to lay out not only what you have, but how it plugs in together. In addition, if you think about the human condition and how that we process information, it's much easier to look at a visual map to consume exactly how devices are related to one another. Advanced topology mapping software can overlay interesting information such as applications, network flows, virtualization, and other services on top of a topology map so that you can then begin to consume and understand how your network and your network devices performance relate to the overall services that your organization provides. So when we think about the business value that topology can add, there are several major areas. Alert storms become very, very, very important. You know, if you have a core switch die or a particular part of the network that becomes inaccessible, then it's very likely that you're going to receive, like I said, a very, very large volume of alerts that come out of a network management system. And so it becomes very hard to distill exactly what the real problem is. By understanding that topology, either looking at it in a visual representation or, more importantly, having the network management system consume that topology and then only send you the root cause alerts, can help you more quickly isolate and repair those problems. In addition, and this is especially interesting for places like managed service providers or mergers and acquisitions, where you're consuming a new business, I don't know what the new business has. I don't know what assets are available. I don't know you know, what the warranty status is. I don't know how they're plugged in together, what wiring closet they live in. And in many cases, the amount of labor and the amount of time that it takes to deconstruct that after years and years and years of just, you know, kind of incremental growth, that effort becomes gargantuan and very, very, very costly. So if we have a network management system that as part of the topology can inventory the devices that are there and how they plug in together, then that's a huge time savings for growing and expanding networks and businesses. So when we think about the problems that topology can solve, the first one I always like to talk about are assets and connections. And so the problem statement here is I don't have a clear picture of my network assets and topology. This could be for very many reasons. So perhaps there's been a change in management or IT staff, and so we no longer have that tribal knowledge, having a software product that can go out and consume that automatically and show it to you can greatly increase the amount of intelligence that you have and reduce the amount of time it takes to get it. So I don't know what I have, right? You want to make sure that you have a topology mapping software, network management software, that uses a comprehensive discovery engine to find what assets are on the network. This is not just at layer three. Right. This is not just I'm going to ping a bunch of IP addresses and see which ones respond. You have to have a system that can actually go out and distill what these types of assets are. This is a Windows server. This is a Windows 7 desktop. This is a Cisco access point. This is a Juniper router. It needs to be comprehensive and able to understand all of the different device types across your network. It's very unlikely for most businesses to have a completely heterogeneous network to where they have everything the same. In most cases, homogeneous, they're going to have a system that has very many different vendors, and so you have to make sure that your discovery engine knows how to communicate with all those different endpoints. You need to have a discovery engine that can both do range scans and crawl scans. And what I mean by that is in a range scan, I may come in and I say, okay, Mr. Discovery Engine, I want you to go and discover the following subnets, the following IP ranges, the following borders, and we're going to present to the discovery engine a very rigid set of rules that tells it where to go and look for these different devices. That is most often the case when we have a very clear picture of where the network borders are, but we may not know all the all the pieces inside of those borders. However, you also have to have a network discovery engine that can do a crawl scan. So I'm going to feed him with some seeding points, you know, like maybe my core router and my edge switches, or perhaps just one device. And then he can learn, he being the discovery engine, can learn where to go by inspecting that seed device. So if you think about how a discovery works, essentially a discovery engine will connect to your device, usually using SNMP. He'll gather all of the interesting MIBs, or OIDs, excuse me, that correspond to layer 2. This includes the ARP cache, the forwarding tables, the bridging tables, the routing tables, all the information that can help us intelligently understand who that device is or to whom that device is talking and how he fits into the overall scheme of things. Once we have an ARP scan where we understand what devices this particular seed device can see or what subnets this particular device is speaking on, then we can continue to crawl. We go to the next device and we inspect his ARP cache and his forwarding tables and routing tables and things of that nature. You have to be able to set limits, right? Otherwise, you could literally discover the entire internet. So it needs to have the ability for you to set include and exclude rules. I want you to scan all of the RFC 1918 space, except I want you to avoid 172.16 for whatever reason. So being able to define a loose set of rules and then let your discovery engine crawl out there and understand what all is in your network. I don't know how it's all connected. So as I mentioned, you just don't want a layer 3 list. You need a layer 2 list that can actually automatically build and visualize your topology model. Mapping should always be at layer 2 and should include the port-to-port connectivity, not just one side of a connection. Now, it's also important to understand that topology maps can grow very large. I have seen topology maps that span into the thousands or even the tens of thousands of nodes, and it usually takes a very specialized software product, usually interactive in 3D, in order to be able to consume a topology map of that size. There does become a point where the fidelity is lost because the map is so big. And then you really can't distill exactly what you're looking at or glean any useful information from it. So your network discovery engine should be able to automatically organize the results by layer 3 subnets. And if we think of the standard size of your layer 3 subnets, most organizations will be lazy and do it at the slash 24 or the class C border. And so it's certainly reasonable to have 250 to 255 nodes in a map and still be able to consume that. But we'll get into a little bit later some of the other important considerations that your topology mapping software needs to be able to do in order to make those maps really useful and consumable. It's not just about the picture, which we will see here in just a moment. So the first must-have is you must be able to discover the port-to-port or layer 2 topology. The second problem is the daily grind, right? So as a network administrator, especially in the medium and early enterprise, what I work on changes each day. So today I may come in and I'm in charge of making sure that the wireless network is performing correctly, the access points are in good locations, and there are no signal strength issues, and figure out how to improve the performance of the wireless network. Tomorrow I may be working on virtualized networks and ensuring that the physical network that supports those virtualized networks is operating correctly. And then the following day I may be clearing a printer jam and setting up a new PC for some new employees. So depending on what I'm working on, my daily needs are going to change. In addition, I may also have to work on things like improving network performance or understanding why the CEO's email was going slow last week. So what we want to do is use tools that allow you to build maps dynamically based on user-specified criteria. Right, so it's not just enough to say, okay, well, I know what the layer 3 subnets are, I know what the layer 2 port-to-port topology is, and so just draw that for me. Because in many cases, there are subdivisions within that network based on function. So, for example, I might want to say, you know what, I want to see all of the printers and how they connect back to my print servers. Or I want to see all of my access points and how they connect to the wireless LAN controller. So your tool should be flexible enough to specify both the map or the infrastructure devices and the devices that connect to them, or go in the other direction. I have these endpoints and I need to see how they connect back into the infrastructure, right? So you want to make sure that your mapping software has filtering options that include things like device names and host names. Here at Ipswitch, it's one of my favorite things to do is to say, well, watch this. I'm going to build a map that says, only show me devices that begin with the letter F, you know, and how they're connected to each other, or other random things, which you think at first may not be very useful, but if you have a business that that has very strict or very informational host naming policies, then this can become a very easy tool for you to specify devices. Map me everything that's star.atlanta.star and things of that nature. You also want to be able to do it by device types and by categories. So as I mentioned, if I'm working on the printing infrastructure today, show me every device that is a printer and then all attached devices to printers that are switches, routers, firewalls, hubs, and bridges so that then I can see exactly how those devices connect together. Subnet membership, that's probably the easiest one. Show me all devices that participate on, you know, 10.1.0.0/24. And VLAN membership, especially when we talk about those layer 2 details. We often think of network maps as only representing physical infrastructure or wireline connectivity. But I'm sure that we're all familiar with 802.1Q, VLANs, you know, the other virtualized network topologies that allow us to build another layer on top of our physical networks. So your network topology software must be able to understand logical relationships as well as physical relationships. Show me all physical devices that participate in logical VLAN number 4. If you don't have topology mapping software that can help you distill that picture, then you're still only looking at your physical network, and you're going to overlook some very important interrelationships between how your devices connect across different VLANs that are on the same physical wire line. So the must-have here is that you must be able to define maps that update automatically. So I specify the criteria. The topology system can build me a map based on those criteria. But as we talked about in the beginning, networks change. Let me tell you a little story. I used to work for LodgeNet, a very large provider of hotel and hospitality internet and video. And so most hotels on occasion have slow internet for whatever reason. In many cases, it's due to the upstream provider and just not having enough bandwidth or high amount of oversubscription. But in some cases, there would be hotels that would go and try to, and I'm doing air quotes here in my office, they would try to help by just randomly moving cables around or changing settings on the switch or changing VLAN memberships, just things that are traditionally pretty disastrous in terms of maintaining network connectivity. And so before LodgeNet owned WhatsApp Gold with the topology mapping software, they had no real way to go out and reflect how a hotel's network was actually configured. So if you think about how a network management software that doesn't have topology information might react to port changes, let's assume that I move a bunch of computers from ports 1 through 10 to ports 6 through 12 or something like that on a switch, and they're still on the same VLAN, so the layer 3 addresses are still responsive. So the network management system might see a little blip, but then those IP addresses come back. If we don't have that topology intelligence, it's never captured that change occurred. And so then fast forward some months into the future when we have to go out for preventative maintenance or to deal with a network issue, the LodgeNet was dealing with stale information. They did not have an accurate picture of how those devices were actually plugged in. This resulted in a lot of extra wasted time with techs on site, with toners in many cases, going out and trying to figure out where this access point is actually connected into the network. Once LodgeNet was able to invest in a network management software that had topology mapping and could automatically update itself, then two things happened. Well, really three things happened. First of all, LodgeNet could always immediately understand exactly how the hotel network was laid out. So when a tech went on site, he knew exactly where to go and what to work on immediately. number two, LodgeNet would receive an alert when that topology changes. So as soon as there was an unexpected change for any reason, there was a historical record of that, and LodgeNet was given a proactive alert. In some cases, not a problem. You know, we can adjust to that change, Mr. Customer. There's no penalty to you. In other cases, that resulted in, and this is number three, accountability, right? So when customers call in and experience problems and they said, geez, our network's not working anymore, before LodgeNet had that accountability piece, they had to eat the cost. Right, there was no way to prove, no, the way that we left the network was X, and now it is Z. You know, there was a superseding event. Now LodgeNet has a historical record of exactly when that change occurred. So they can bill to the customer for customer self-inflicted wounds. LodgeNet no longer had to eat the cost of going out and repairing that network because they could prove exactly when that happened. So you have to have network topology mapping software that can define and update those maps automatically in real time. Problem number three I like to talk about is root cause analysis. And this gets back to the example I gave early on in the beginning. So the problem statement is I receive a lot of alerts and have to figure out the root cause of an outage. So once again, and I'm going to jump backwards here in time just a little bit, when we think about this network map, right, and think about that switch that goes out, if you only have a layer three list of IP addresses that we're pinging or inspecting and hoping that they'll respond, then I don't know that which switch went out that then caused all these other devices behind it to disappear off of the network. Since WhatsUp Gold understands these dependencies, you can configure WhatsUp Gold to automatically generate those device dependencies based on the network topology so that you'll only receive an alert for a failed component and none of the subcomponents. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know that LodgeNet was able to reduce the amount of alerts from hundreds or thousands a day to fewer than two dozen per day, which actualized into a real cost savings for them in terms of mean time to repair, as well as tech time and having to just sit there and sift through those actual alerts. So it's very important to have a tool that allows you to limit your alerts to the root cause only. Don't tell me about all the servers behind the switch and all the other switches behind the switch. Just tell me about the switch. It should be able to leverage that topology intelligence to build those dependencies based on device connectivity. What's even more important, if we think about layer two, if we really think about topologies, and layers three and layers two are very similar to each other in that it's possible to have multiple different redundant paths, right? In WhatsUp Gold, it's the route preference, or excuse me, in that layer three, it's the route preference, the preference metric for a routing table. In layer two, it's your spanning tree that ensures that there is only one path that's active at any time. But there are certainly the ability to have multiple different layer two paths. So you want to make sure that your network management system can understand that there could be multiple paths between devices, and so it can understand the redundancy that your topology may or may not provide. So you must be able to automatically isolate your root causes as part of your network topology mapping software. Network exploration, and this is one that a lot of people don't think about, but I think you'll, when we start to think about some of the emerging technologies, we can understand how this is really important. So the problem statement here is I cannot rapidly explore my network to understand how devices are connected. So let's say that I'm a managed service provider who's just been hired by a law firm to come in and work on their network. And they say, oh, hey, the reason we called you is because we have this switch or this router or whatever the device is, and it seems to be going bad, and we need to make a mitigation or an emergency response plan to this before it completely dies. Right, so you as a, or me as a managed service provider who's not familiar with their network, I don't really understand the significance of this particular network device. If I have topology mapping software that can go out and then spider, like we talked about earlier, do a crawl scan across this switch and then all the devices behind the switch, then we can start to explore this network. So let's imagine in our minds that we have a map that has a single device. And it's the switch that's in the closet. You want your network topology software to allow you to click on this device and then choose what type of devices to represent the next level connection. So I may come in and say, you know what, show me all wireless access points that connect to this network, and then poof, my map should update and I should see those wireless access points. And then I say, okay, show me all Windows servers that are connected to this device, and poof, those Windows servers should appear on my map. Show me all client devices that are attached to this device, and I should be able to see those client devices appear. And then I can understand which ports have my most critical network services. Those are the ones that I need to migrate first. So if we start to think about multi-tiered networks, which I'm sure most of us have, right, so we have lots of Layer 3 borders, lots of Layer 2 infrastructure, it becomes very important for me to be able to start at a problem point or start at a crunch point. Let's say that I've just identified a single point of failure in the network. I need to be able to start at that single point of failure and say, okay, what everything is behind this single point of failure that I need to build redundancy for. So you want to have mapping tools that have the ability to grow a map interactively. And this also gets back to the daily grind, right? What I work on each day changes. In many cases, I may not have the luxury of starting from a point where I can define those filters, right? star.atl.star on this particular VLAN. I may not have that level of intelligence. I may be starting from the dark ages. And so I can literally pick a single starting point in the network and then start to build a map interactively to crawl outwards to find out exactly how my network is connected. Start with that single node. Choose what types of connected devices to display based on your device category type, VLAN membership, host names, whatever is interesting to you. This is really, really, really helpful when we start thinking about the wiring closets, the snake's nest that we saw there earlier, or the WAN links, right? So I'm at this office, I can have visibility into what's in my local LAN, but I really don't understand where this tunnel goes. I really don't understand where this T1 goes. I don't know what's on the other end of this. So if you deal with a lot of networks with which you're not familiar, you're not primarily responsible for managed service providers, mergers, acquisitions, things of that nature, this is a very, very, very important feature. And the fifth problem is network growth. So network topology changes over time. We start life with the best of intentions. I'm going to keep this Visio up to date, and we're going to have my Excel spreadsheets with all my IP addresses, and we'll know what they are, and that's great until they change, and then I'm too busy to go back and update them, and then they kind of fall by the wayside, and then, oh, yeah, there's this Visio from 2 years ago. It may or may not be up to date. You know, good luck with that. So you need to have network topology tools that can recognize those changes and update themselves over time. It should be able to regularly discover your network. And those discoveries should honor all of discovery controls or mapping controls that we talked about earlier. So, for example, I may say, okay, I know that my financial applications all are on VLAN 6, and I know that my PCI network, let's say, and I know that all that goes down at 11 o'clock for posting or whatever. So then I may want to schedule my topology scan or my topology update to occur during a particular point in time. So from 11 to 12, I want you to discover VLAN 6. And then from 3 to 4 at night, I want you to discover my web servers and my server farm because I know that that's when I have the least amount of web traffic. And I want you to discover my inner office topology where all the workers are before 6 a.m. Because they start coming in at 6. So you need to be able to define different pieces of your network to be able to automatically update that topology over time. You also need to be able to keep a historical record of those changes. So like I mentioned with LodgeNet, when they were able to start to keep records of their topology, they were able to keep their customers accountable. Or they were able to correlate change events with problem conditions. So, for example, all of a sudden last week, this end of the building started having very, very, very shoddy network connectivity. Oh, I can see that, you know, last Thursday, about the time that these trouble tickets started happening, I see that the network topology changed. You know, it failed to a different spanning tree route or, a redundant link got cut or whatever the problem may be. So by having a historical record, we can both keep network operators accountable, and we can correlate change events to problem events. The maps should automatically update themselves with newly discovered devices. So it's not just enough to say, oh, we're going to add the device, this server that has appeared to my big flat list of servers that we see, but the maps should automatically update. Or said another way, anytime a user of a topology service goes to a map to look at it, he should be confident that that map is accurate. I shouldn't say, oh, is this the map that we generated last week, last month, last year? Many network management software products will generate a flat map. I almost think of it like a JPEG, right? It's really just a picture. It's not a living thing. So you can't go in you may be able to drag things around, put this object here, you know, make this adjacency over there. But that does not mean that the map will dynamically update based on new conditions that have been detected. I want a map where I can say, okay, I want you to show me all router switches, firewalls, bridges, access points that begin with the letter A and participate in VLAN 6. And should a new device that meets all those criteria appear tomorrow, I want it to be on my map tomorrow. I don't want to have to worry that map may be out of date. And as I mentioned, the scheduled discoveries should provide that fine-grained control to limit result sets, right? So once again, I always love going back to LodgeNet. It's a great example. So there are very many networks at a hotel, right? There is the hotel operators network where they have their hotel management system and back office systems and things of that nature. There is the hotel guest network where hotel guests who need to get to the internet live. There are things, usually they'll have a partner or a service provider, a vendor network for people who come in and need to work. And in a lot of cases, they'll either have voice over IP or TV over IP in order to service guest rooms and things of that nature. So I've seen large hotel chains with as many as 10 to 20 VLANs all running on the same network system. And so in those cases, in a lot of times, those network topologies change daily. I know of a very large hotel operator that uses 802.1x, which is basically a MAC layer authentication. So when I plug in my laptop into any port on a switch, the 802.11x will put that on the correct VLAN. I see this is Brian's laptop. Brian is an employee, so I'm going to put him on the employee VLAN. I see this is an unknown MAC address, so he must be a guest, so we're going to put him on the guest network. So in those types of instances, that network topology from a virtual perspective is completely dynamic. It changes every single day. So your topology mapping software has got to be able to be reactive and deal with those topology changes in real time. Once again, it's not just enough to visually represent it, but we have to bring that intelligence all the way into the network management system. And so with that, if you're interested in trying What's Up Gold that includes integrated Layer 2 topology mapping, port-to-port, as well as virtualization, wireless infrastructure, application performance management, configuration management, voice over IP quality assurance, and IP address management, go to whatsupgold.com where you can try What's Up Gold version 16.1. All editions include all the features we've talked about in topology mapping as part of the base product that you can evaluate free for 30 days. It's a very inexpensive solution. You'll find features that you won't find in software products that cost 10 times as much. So I encourage all of you, if you want to play with this, go to whatsupgold.com. What's Up Gold is a complete IT management solution. If you're only interested in topology mapping, I would also suggest to try out our What's Connected product, which is actually a console product you can stick on your laptop and get to all those great topology features without all the network management. And so with that, I'd like to turn this back over to our host, who is going to help walk us through some audience questions and answers.
Great. Thanks, Brian. That was a great presentation. Let's head right to the questions here. Here's one that kind of fits in with what you were talking about with your 30-day trial. They want to know about kind of the nuts and bolts operational steps. Say they download this free trial. Do you load it on a Windows box, and then do you see a GUI? Is it command line driven? Exactly how are they going to use it once
right,
they
very
download
good.
It?
Right. So essentially there are two options if you're looking for topology. The first question you should ask yourself is, are you interested in network management, which includes alerting, performance tracking, kind of an overall NMS type of system, or are you looking just to understand your network topology and keep a historical record of that? If you're interested in network management, you'll download WhatsApp Gold. You will need to install it on a system with four cores and 4 gigs. We'll install a database. The only thing that you'll need to have in order to make use of topology and network management writ large is to have credentials to your devices. So essentially, in order for somebody to ask a device his network topology, you have to have some way to authenticate to that device. The most common way to do that is through SNMP, Simple Network Management Protocol. So most managed network devices, as well as most Windows devices and servers, can optionally configure what's called an SNMP agent, who can provide to us a visibility inside the kind of under the hood of your network devices. And then we can scrape, and there's a standard called the IF2MIB that allows us to scrape all of that topology information. And once again, that's things like ARP caches, interface tables, bridging, forwarding tables, VLAN membership, things of that nature that we can then use to compute and draw those topology maps. WhatsApp Gold contains all that layer 2 stuff built in as part of a larger IT management solution. If you're only interested in the topology mapping piece, you can download What's Connected, which is, as I mentioned, a console product. The requisites are much lower for What's Connected. It's only about a 50 meg download. It runs on almost any Windows version, does not have a huge horsepower requirement. Everything that we do is GUI. WhatsApp Gold is a web interface. What's Connected is a console application. And there again, all you'll need are credentials to your devices. Once again, SNMP, Simple Network Management Protocol credential, is preferred. That allows us to scrape almost all that topology information. We can also consume other kind of more ephemeral pieces of information, such as CDP or Cisco Discovery Protocol, LLDP, Link Layer Discovery Protocol, some of the other topology technologies that are available. But if we can get an SNMP credential, we're pretty much good to go. Once you install either one of these software products, the discovery, it's a variable amount of time depending on the size of your network. But generally speaking, within, I'd say between 3 and 15 minutes, we'll be able to automatically construct those topology maps, and then you can start jumping in and doing cool stuff, right? Filtered maps, dynamic maps, growing the map from a single point of exploration with WhatsApp Gold, building those automatic dependencies, and begin to do monitoring. So it's a pretty low-cost investment in terms of downloading the software and giving it a shot, but it's also a low-effort investment in terms of time to value. As I said, the whole process can be done within an hour. You've downloaded the software, installed it, done your discovery, begun monitoring, and playing with those maps.
Great. One of the things that enterprise IT is struggling with, it's a buzzword called BYOD, or bring your own device.
Right.
Can these network topology mapping things fit into being able to discover those things, register them, understand if there are devices that are being connected to topologies or subnets that they aren't supposed to be, things like that?
Right, excellent. Very good question. So it's funny, I promised the audience we didn't set this up as a product pitch. With WhatsApp Gold version 16, which was released in October of last year, we have baked into the product in the premium and distributed and managed service provider editions a complete wireless management solution, which does include your network topology. So wireless is a different animal. If we think about how wireless networks work, they're very transient. They are not expected to be very static, whereas wireline networks, for the most part, we do consider that they're going to be very static. So when we think about wireless topology, there are really three areas we want to consider. The first is the actual client infrastructure. So said another way, the devices that attach to the network. Here at Ipswitch, I'll just give you an example. We have several wireless networks. We have one for our guests. We have one for our employee corporate-owned devices, and we have one for our employee bring-your-own devices, and we keep those very separate. It's important for us to understand when if an employee were to try to connect his personal device such as my smartphone, to the corporate network. We always want to have that wireless device connect to the mobile network. So if we think about malware, devices that we don't own, perhaps there's spy software installed, there's a lot of danger in smartphone-type devices connecting to a corporate network. So you want to have a network topology software that understands, okay, this is a wireless network. I need to treat it a little bit differently. So in the wireless topology model that WhatsUp Gold uses, we treat those client devices, which would be the far-end, laptops, smartphones, things like that, more as clients than as infrastructure devices. And what I mean by that is every day when I come into WhatsUp Gold headquarters here at Ipswich, the WhatsUp Gold topology mapping software makes a record of my phone joining the mobile network. So in this way, we can track where those clients have gone over time. This is a fundamentally different concept than tracking your wireless, or excuse me, your network infrastructure topology changes, which you want to keep a very detailed record of those, but you don't necessarily want to map or change all of your network maps for transitive devices such as wireless devices. So your network topology mapping software needs to be able to understand this is a BYOD, this is a device that's going to come and go, and I don't want to trigger a whole bunch of topology model changes based on wireless devices, whereas you would want to trigger that sort of change on an infrastructure device like a core switch or an edge router, things of that nature. So you certainly want to have software that is aware of the difference between wireless and wireless networks. And then the second and third things, just to finish the thought, with those wireless networks is there's the client networks, but then there's also the infrastructure network in terms of how the wireless LAN controller communicates with the access points. So in many cases, those operate on separate VLANs, and so we want to ensure that we have, or that we understand there's the what I would call the production network in terms of what the client uses to connect to the internet. But there's also the control plane network, which has to do with how the wireless access points connect to an infrastructure that manages them.
Interesting. So in terms of, we talked a lot about kind of enterprise-oriented applications. Can this topology mapping be useful for service provider networks, like network infrastructure, or is it not? Is it really more tuned toward the enterprise? Can you kind of compare and contrast how, if and how you can use something like this to map service provider networks?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So in my opinion, being from a software vendor, everybody should have it. It's very important. But the business goals are going to be different.
Right.
For an enterprise, in many cases, I've seen a lot of enterprises that don't bother with things like dynamic routing protocols, OSPF or ISIS or something like that, because our networks are fairly static. You know, send the top half of the 10 network to Boston and send the bottom half to Atlanta, and that's a very lightweight rule. However, enterprises are going to focus on their infrastructure as it services their enterprise computers, right? So I'm more interested in the client network. So I want to be able to define, show me the Windows servers, the Windows clients, and how they're all interacted. Service provider networks are a little bit different for a couple of reasons. One is it's almost all infrastructure devices, right? At an enterprise, I probably have an 80-20 mix between client devices or servers and infrastructure devices like routers and switches. Service provider is more like 95 and 5, right? So 95% network devices and only 5% of servers and client devices and things of that nature. Okay. Service provider networks in many cases change dynamically, either by layer 3, right? So when we think about things like OSPF or routing or BGP routing protocol changes. But also at layer 2, especially if you're using MPLS or some other dynamic mesh topology, that can change over time depending on load or need. So having a topology mapping software that can represent that visually, especially for service providers, when you're interested in redundancy. So I remember back in my Lucent days designing networks for RBOC and kind of 5-9s types companies, which service providers in many cases aspire to. It was very important to be able to identify and prove that we had redundant paths in and out of all the central offices, in and out of all the POPs, you know, not just, oh, two different wires, but two different paths, you know. I mean, at the RBOC, it had to be, you know, at the north end and the south end, they had to be literally two different paths. And so being able to have a topology mapping software can help you identify that we are or are not meeting those redundancy needs. In addition, very advanced topology mapping software can even show you or figure out and say, hey, you've got a loss of resiliency in these particular cases. That's going to be very, very, very important for service providers whose whole business is based on the reputation of having four or five nines uptime. So understanding that topology can help you guarantee or understand where you may have pinch points or loss of resiliency.
Right. And I suppose the corollary on that is they've got you know, infrastructure or service provider owned equipment at the subscriber sometimes, so it's useful to be able to map those, understand if there's any changes going on. Maybe it can even help test and diagnostics and better customer service, stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
Neat. Okay. I'm going to group a few questions together here, so to kind of
sure,
because they're all along the same vein. So I guess they kind of focus around what are the alternatives. So someone mentioned something like Nmap, Ping, you know, other kinds of, you know, nuts and bolts command line hacker utilities to go figure out where stuff is and what it's about. Somebody asks about potential competing products to What's Up Gold. How your solution would compare to that. And then I guess the other option we talked about before the ECAS was don't do anything. Don't know what your topology is. So maybe you can you kind of seat this in kind of a matrix of where What's Up Gold shines and where if you're in a certain kind of network, maybe you can use Nmap or Ping or whatever.
Right. Well, so there again, I think we've spent the majority of this hour or so talking about the business value that topology provides. And a lot of that discussion is in the context of the fidelity of information and the functionality that I'm advocating that you want to have in your network topology mapping software. If we think about, you know, and I think the two that I most commonly hear are Ping and Traceroute. Less commonly Nmap, although it provides some very interesting features. But you know, an Nmap will only go through and really at layer 3 and then at even higher layers than that identify what ports are open, do host fingerprinting, you know, but that's always at a per-host level.
Right.
Traceroute itself is just a layer 3. It does not distill any layer 2 topology information. And Ping certainly is ICMP. It only is going to tell you whether something's there or not.
Right.
The real important thing, and there are, you know, to be fair, I remember doing this in college when layer 2 first became something that was I would consider mappable, there are some open source software projects and hacker projects where you can go and basically visualize based on those MAC addresses and ARP caches and forwarding tables. However, the picture is only a very small piece of the overall value of topology. It's not so much being able to visualize how things plug in together. It's what can you do with it,
right?
What good is a map if I can't generate dependencies and bring that intelligence into my system? What good is a map if I can't say, you know what, now only show me things that begin with the letter A or participate in this particular VLAN? Or, you know, what good is a map that doesn't constantly keep itself up to date? So it's really not just the map itself. It's how we can turn that map into a tool that helps us solve our business problems. So I never like to try to disparage others. You know, I'd rather build us up than tear them down. But I will say that the features that you're going to find in What's Up Gold, and most specifically the auto dependency generation, which brings a huge amount of value, as well as the dynamic filtering based on very consumable bits like show me router switches and hubs that participate in this VLAN on this particular subnet, that's really where we shine. And I think that the more people get used to being able to use that as a daily use tool, it becomes less of a static picture that hangs on the wall and more of a hammer or a screwdriver driver that I'm going to pull out every day in order to accomplish my tasks.
I see. Okay. Maybe one closing question here. Somebody asks, how large can these topology maps get? Is there a limit?
Well, I mean, so in theory, and if you go and look on the Internet, if you Google for it, you will actually see that there are people who are trying to map the entire Internet.
Right.
It's the loss of fidelity at a certain size. As I had mentioned earlier, and really what we find with our software is when you talk about a flat map, when you talk about a 2D map, really about 200 to 250 nodes are the size that really you can have a static map and it's still useful. Once you get above a Class C, it really becomes hard to consume. So at that point, you say, I could build a topology map that as long as it can be interactive. I have seen topology mapping software go up to 30,000 nodes. But in that case, it was a OpenGL, 3D, zoom and fly around. And, you know, it was very useful, and there was a lot of fidelity in that. But the only reason it was useful is because they had built very strong controls to say to build the topology, to allow me to explore the topology, and then overlay useful information on top of it. I would recommend that you build your topology maps at the size that your network is provisioned. Said another way, if you have a network that has layer 3 segments that are larger than 256 or 512 devices, you probably would even see a performance improvement by segmenting that down. So
right.
if we let the map fall at the natural layer 3 borders, I think you'll find that will be a very useful map for you.
I see. Okay. Well, very good. That brings us to the conclusion of today's eCast. I want to thank Brian for sharing your insights on the best practices in network topology mapping. We at Open Systems Media and Brian also thank all of you for attending today, contributing those questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours.